Lord God, we do pray that you would give us ears to hear your word, that the seed of your word, powerful in your might, may take root in our hearts and grow and flourish and produce a bountiful harvest of righteousness and of lives lived for you. Now, Lord, open our hearts to hear, open my mouth to speak, that you may be glorified among us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Do you remember when NPR was National Public Radio? But they rebranded at one point. They felt the word radio was, kind of did not give the public a very good understanding of the full breadth that everything that the NPR does, because they are more than radio. They are also web services and podcasts and downloadable apps for your smartphones and all of that. So they rebranded and became NPR, and it was a pretty successful rebranding effort. And then there was Kentucky Fried Chicken that rebranded as KFC, because apparently the word fried is kind of like the F-bomb to the health-conscious crowd. And they didn't want that in their name, so they became KFC. And that was another pretty successful rebranding. British Petroleum. I don't know if both of those words are bad in America, British and petroleum, but they became BP. You might remember Radio Shack became The Shack, and I don't know if that was such a successful rebranding effort. They're having their troubles. Apple Computer became just plain Apple. They dropped the computer because they are more than computers. I understand Sunmade that might make the prunes now become dried plums. Talk about rebranding, right? But perhaps, to my thinking anyway, the worst example of rebranding had to be when the YMCA became just the plain old Y. And I understand that's the way everybody talked about it. You know, let's go down, I'll meet you at the Y. But you see, the problem, and I know, well, it gives a fresh look. You know, they wanted to have a fresh, youthful look to their logo and everything. But my problem with the rebranding of the YMCA is this. Now, how are we going to sing that Village People song, right? You know, it's fun to stay at the Y. You know, it kind of loses it. But rebranding, you know, it does have some risks for corporations. But there's also a side of rebranding that really helps you to get a fresh look at things and to understand things a little bit better. I remember a pastor one time talking about rebranding the parable of the prodigal son. We always called it the parable of the prodigal son. It's this story about a bad boy who takes his inheritance and moves away from home, right? But this one pastor said, maybe we ought to rebrand that parable. Maybe we ought to call it instead the parable of the patient and the merciful father, because that's really what that parable is all about, isn't it? And it gives us a fresh new look and insight into that parable. Well, I'm going to suggest this morning a slight rebranding of this parable that we just read in the gospel reading this morning, the parable of the sower. But I must say that I do that with some trepidation, because this is one of those cases where our Lord himself branded this parable. He named it. When you go to chapter 13, verse 18, Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." And, you know, so who am I to rebrand the Lord's parable? But I would like to suggest anyway a slightly modified version of that title to help us see this parable in a new and in a fresh way, and perhaps help us to understand something we haven't understood before. I would suggest this as a rebranding: the parable of the reckless farmer and his miraculous crop. Now, why reckless? Well, look what the farmer does. He is a reckless farmer. He takes some of that perfectly good seed that he has, and he sows it where you would never think there could ever be germination or growth or a harvest. Farmers around here, what do you pay for a bag of corn seed these days, for 80K of corn seed? What is that, maybe $200, is it? More than that? $300 for a bag of seed, okay? And that goes for how far? Maybe 2 acres, 2.5 acres, okay, somewhere. Thank you, Delbert, for helping me out on that, okay? The point is, seed isn't cheap, and you don't just waste it, right? You don't waste it, do you, Delbert? Any other farmers, okay? Would you take that good seed, that seed that you paid $300 a bag for, would you take that good seed and would you throw it onto the rocky shoulders of the county roads? Would you take that good seed and would you throw it on the hard-packed soil of your farm lanes? Would you take that good, expensive seed and would you throw it and toss it back into the wooded areas of your farm property? Of course not. No farmer would do that. That would be reckless. That would be wasteful. You put the seed where it has the most promise to germinate, right? To grow and to produce a harvest. You put it in the good soil. So do you see what I mean by possibly rebranding this parable as this parable of the reckless farmer? He does what is unthinkable. Not only does he sow the seed where you would expect him to sow the seed in the good soil, but he also is just flinging it all over the place. And some of it falls on the hard-packed soils of the farm lanes, and others of it falls on the stony ground and amidst the thorns where you would never expect any growth to happen or any harvest to take place. He just tossed the seed where the birds of the air will come along and pick it up and snatch it away, where it's going to be choked out by the thorns and the thistles, where it's going to be scorched by the sun because it just doesn't have roots that are deep enough to give it good, vibrant life. What is Jesus trying to say here? Of course, he's giving us a picture of how God wants his word to be sown in this world, and that is recklessly. Without any regard to whether we think it has a chance to grow or not. That's not our business. Our business is to take that seed and to fling it far and wide, here and there, just to sow it and let God give it growth if he so chooses. Which brings me then to the other part of the rebranding of this parable that I'm suggesting, and that's the miraculous crop. Because look what happened when this farmer sowed this seed so recklessly. 160-30-fold. Now, I'm not sure how that compares by today's standards. Do you get 100-fold out of a bag of corn? Probably. Don't you? At least that. Don't you? I don't know. But anyway, I know that in the old times, in the Old Testament or New Testament times, that would have been a miraculous crop. And that begs the question, where did all of that yield come from? It's more than you would expect even just from the good soil. Where did all of that yield come from? You know, could it possibly have come from some of that rocky soil, that scorched soil, that thorny soil? Jesus doesn't really elaborate on this point a lot, but if you look at his ministry and you look how he sowed the seed of the word, look what happens. He sowed the seed of God's word and of God's kingdom in some of the worst soils you can possibly imagine. And yet, by the miracle of God, it took root and it grew. Just think about these. The heart of a sinful woman who is cohabiting with a man who is not her husband would hardly be the place you would think to sow the seed of God's word. And yet, upon receiving that word, this immediately begins to bear fruit. She runs back to the village. She tells all her friends, "Come out with me to the well. I think I have found the Christ." The heart of a pompous, self-righteous Pharisee is not exactly the most promising place to plant the seed of God's word. And yet Nicodemus and Saul of Tarsus were both brought to faith by the power of that word, and they produced amazing amounts of fruit for the kingdom of God. The heart of a hardened criminal and thief is not the first place you would think to sow the seed of God's word. And yet Zacchaeus heard that word, and immediately he begins to produce the fruits of faith. And he wants to give back everything that he has stolen, and then some. In each case, you and I, as more sensible farmers, probably would have said, there's no use wasting seed on that kind of soil. On hearts that are so hard and thorny and rocky and shallow like that. But you see, here's the difference between planting seed in the soil of Northwest Ohio and planting the seed of God's word in human hearts. For you regular farmers out there, it is the soil, its moisture, its warmth, and its nutrients that gives life to the seed. But in the kingdom of God, it is the seed that gives life to the soil, to these earthen vessels. You see? Let me say that again. For you farmers out there, it is the soil, the moisture, the nutrients that gives life to the seed. But in the kingdom of God, it's the seed that gives life to this soil. You see, God can bless the seed of His Word in any kind of soil He chooses, which is why He says in chapter 13, verse 11, He says, "It has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." It has been given to you. Do you see that? If you believe and you understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, that's not because you, the soil, gave life to that seed that was planted in you. It's because the seed that was planted in you gave life to you, the soil. God gives growth to His seed in any kind of soil that He chooses. He is, after all, Almighty God. And His gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes it. Everyone who believes it. Which is why the farmer was so liberal and so reckless in casting the seed here and there, just in case God might work a miracle with that seed that fell on the path or in the thorns or on the rocks. You never know. After all, didn't God sow the seed into your heart too? Wasn't that a little bit reckless? You know, some of you were once that hard-packed soil along the farm path. Life's trials and your heartaches and your tragedies had trampled your heart and had left your heart as hard as Pharaoh's heart against God. For years, the Word of God would just bounce off your heart. And the birds came and snatched it away. Because you wanted nothing to do with God, with His Word. And yet, the sower kept sowing the seed your way. And now look, here you are. Some of you were the thorny soil, or the stony soil. You know, you had religious roots, but they were very shallow. You know, you went as far as confirmation class, 13, 14 years old. That's about where you stopped in your faith, and you never grew up much beyond that. You didn't even want to grow up in your faith. And as a result of those shallow roots, when the sun came out and scorched you, you quickly withered and wilted away, and your faith became doubts. And yet the sower kept sowing the seed your way. And now look, here you are. Thank God. Some of you are the soil that is thick with those that was thick with those thorns and thistles. You were more interested in everything that the world has to offer, all of its flashy toys and its exciting places and the fun things that there are to do, and all of which choked out your faith, and yet the sower kept sowing the seed your way. And look, here you are. Despite the condition of your heart, whatever it was, the powerful seed of God's Word has given life to this lifeless clay. And it has been given to us to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. Secrets like these. That we don't get to heaven by our own efforts. That the way to heaven is Jesus Christ, God's own Son. It's been paid for you. That the cost of heaven is not yours to bear. It was Christ's to bear. When He laid down His life and He suffered and He sweated and He gave His blood and He died for you and then He rose again for you. Secrets like this, that the way we apprehend this gift is not by anything that we do, but it's by faith, which itself is a gift of God. Into your hard, scorched, thorny, thistled heart, God nevertheless recklessly, graciously, liberally sowed His seed of His Word. And now look, it has been given you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Now can you understand what this implies for us as Christians and as a church? We have to be just as reckless in sowing the seed of God's Word. We must not take matters into our own hands and deny someone the Word of God because we think their heart soil is too hard or too far gone or too lost in sin or too full of pride or too busy or too anything. That is not ours to say. Ours is but to cast that seed, to fling it far and wide and liberally, and to let it fall even in places you would never imagine it could ever produce fruit. Cast it into the parking lots, onto the sidewalks, onto the shoulders of the road, onto the rocky ground, into the weeds and the thistles, onto the hard-packed sidewalks of the cities, into the prisons, into your Muslim neighborhoods. Let it be cast everywhere. Let everybody hear it, because you never know when that seed, by the power of God, is going to find some way to put down some roots and to grow and to produce a harvest for the kingdom. And I want to tell you right now, between our 145th anniversary celebration next month and our 150th anniversary celebration in 2019, you and I are going to work more diligently at doing just this together, casting, sowing the seed, because we are in the kingdom farming business for the very reason. I recklessly sow the good seed everywhere we possibly can, and then we will watch God go to work and produce the miraculous crop. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting.